Next on BYUSN, Bear Up! What are our expectations for Bear Bachmeyer in his first start against Portland State? We discuss playing a game called Bear Up or Bear Down. Former BYU quarterback and NFL quarterback trainer John Beck joins the show to discuss his experience starting as a true freshman and what advice he has given Bear Bachmeyer ahead of his first ever start at BYU.
Offensive lineman Austin Leusa helps us preview the season opener against Portland State. As a former FCS player, what's it like playing against BYU? And Brielle Kemmevoor and Alex Bauer of number 19 women's volleyball preview the three-game opening weekend starting tomorrow in Provo.
That time of year, game on! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thursday, August 28th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who might just have a new wallpaper for his personal phone, Jerem Jordan.
I loved growing up putting, you know, different pictures on the wall, posters, you know, Sports Illustrated, whatever, pictures. AJ DiBonsa and BYU, they did a photo shoot with a bunch of the guys, but this particular photo of AJ with the backdrop, the lighting, the mountains. I mean, come on. This is awesome. BYU photo and creative design and marketing and everybody, they do such a good job with BYU. Can't wait to see how they use all these, but they posted this yesterday on Twitter. That's fun.
I want that poster in my office.
Yeah.
At home and at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is so cool.
That's legit, man.
AJ, we heard from his dad, Ace, is not surprisingly making the news cycle.
More on that coming up.
Yeah. We'll get into the details of that.
Yeah.
It never stops for him. And frankly, for BYU basketball. But you may have heard it's football season.
How many wins are BYU gonna have?
Well, not 4.5, Jerem. Like,
hopefully they'll have 4.5. Through.
When they're 5-0.
Five games. They'll have 5 wins. Hopefully, yeah.
Let's go! Football season is upon us. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, you get to play in front of 60,000 people and you just get goosebumps kind of thinking about it, yeah. Playing quarterback and, you know, you cross the line of scrimmage. You go on to be cautious, but, you know, you kind of want to run somebody over too. So, again, trying to stay focused on the job, and that's winning.
It all comes down to winning. Bear Bachmeyer knows it better than most. BYU will start the true freshman quarterback and do so in a season opener for the first time in program history. But what are our specific expectations for Bear in his first BYU start? We'll discuss that with a game we are calling Bear Up or Bear Down. We look or
presented by Arizona.
Yeah, no. Not that type of Bear Down. We took the average of BYU's 7 previous true freshman starting quarterback stats in their first start.
Yeah.
To create this idea and number and whether we're going to go up or down from said number. So, with that in mind, Jerem, let's start with passing yards as the opening statistic. We averaged, again, the 7 previous true freshman starts, 215 passing yards was the average. Are you bearing up from that number or down?
Down. I think BYU is going to run the ball a lot. I don't think they'll need to throw for more than 215. I will be surprised if they do. I don't want them to, Spencer. I want this to be a heavy run game, and we'll see Bear in the run game too.
So I initially leaned toward that way of thinking and started along the hand it off to LJ Martin. Bear's probably going to use his legs a bunch, and BYU is going to run for 300+, and then the pass game will be, you know, little dink and dunk support, maybe a big shot or two. But I think that because BYU feels they can dominate in the trenches, they score a couple of early touchdowns, I think they're going to let Bear test his arm a little bit. So I'm actually going up. I don't think it'll be much higher than that, but I think that he's going to have some big plays and really stretch the field against the porous Portland State pass defense. So I'm going to go just above and Bear up maybe 220, 225.
Okay, passing touchdowns. 2 is the average. Bear up or Bear down?
See, I'm going up here too. I don't think it's going to be much more than that. 3. Like, I feel pretty good about Bear throwing 3 touchdowns. And some of these are, I don't want to say weak, but it might be like a little screen pass, bubble screen at the 3-yard line that counts as a passing touchdown.
Yep.
I just feel like Aaron Roderick might work in a few little wrinkles around the goal line, and that number I expect to be 1 above. So I'm bearing up on that as well.
I'm neither. I'm bear straight,
ooh,
question mark?
Bearing
2.
Straight.
Bearing, yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah, just 2. just straight up, he'll hit that number too.
Okay. What about giveaways?
One is the average. So I bear down. I go zero. I don't think he turns it over.
Not against
no
Portland
fumbles,
State.
No picks.
I agree with you on this one. I'm bearing down. I do not think that Bear will give it away against Portland State.
Give it away.
None of that.
No Red Hutchins.
Frankly, if that happens, we'll be super disappointed.
Yeah. Listen, one giveaway is not a big deal if you score four touchdowns.
Right? Maybe there's a weird pass deflection
against
or something.
Portland State, that ratio is not going to be what it normally needs to be. 3-1 would be what you want. 2-1 is probably acceptable. But against Portland State,
4-1.
4 or 5-1, really. Completion percentage, 56.2. Super low number for true freshmen in their first start.
Bearing up. It
Please.
Needs to
Please.
Be. For his confidence, and frankly for the level of opponent, it needs to be north of 60% probably. I'm bearing up.
What has Aaron Roderick said? He completes the most passes. So, yeah, bearing way up. Give me high 60s, if not 70-plus
okay.
in this game.
Yeah, that definitely. If it's lower, yikes.
It's Portland State.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Give me a 31-34 Sark against Fresno State thing. That'd be awesome.
You're not asking for much.
Well, I don't want that many completions, honestly. I want in the 20s. BYU needs to just dominate on the ground.
He throws 30 passes. He's definitely going over 215 pass yards, right?
I know. Let's not be throwing it 30 times. That'd be weird.
Okay. How much is Bear going to run rushing yards?
Weird.
And frankly, this would have been the average number would have been negative if it weren't for Taysom Hill, thankfully.
Okay? Oh, who ran for like 147?
Yes, against Hawaii.
Yes.
So the average rushing yards in this first true freshman start.
Colton, what would it be without? Would it be negative?
It would be negative.
It was negative? Very negative. Okay, yeah.
15 yards, Jerem.
Yeah.
15 yards.
Oh. Bear up, yeah. Just, you might need to add a zero there.
150?
I don't know. Who knows?
I hope he
Maybe
doesn't
he gets
have to run
loose.
That much against Portland State.
Well, it's not about running that much. What if he gets loose? He gets on the edge and goes for 60 twice. He's gonna be up.
John Beck had negative 56 yards rushing in his first start. We're going to talk to John.
We'll talk to John coming up. I doubt that will come up. We want John to be in a good way.
Taysom's 147 offset John's negative 56.
Nice.
Yeah, we're both way up. That's like on when 15 rushing yards.
It's like when Jimmer Fredette scored 52 against New Mexico in the Mountain West Conference tournament. And I asked Noah Hartsock after the game, what will you remember from this performance? And he goes, the Jimmer and I combined for 59.
His 7 points were huge.
John and Taysom combined for 109 rushing yards.
How many did BYU win that game by? It was pretty close, right?
I don't remember.
They needed all 7 to know
his
points.
I just remember BYU won and basically ran out of gas.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Last but not least, yards per attempt. So this tells you kind of how explosive a quarterback is. You want to be kind of 8-plus. Mm-hmm. If you're 9 or 10, you're really explosive. 7.0 is the number. So bear up or bear down.
Yeah, not a great number. And again, this is based on the opponent, folks. Portland State. This needs to be way over 7 yards. Like, yeah, I want it to be closer to 9 yards
per attempt.
I want
8.5, 9, yeah. Yeah, so bear up by a million.
This is not your typical opponent.
No, and we don't think Bear's your typical true freshman either. Listen, it just hit me this morning. He wasn't just in one starting quarterback competition. He was in two. He was in it at Stanford.
Yeah.
He really was. So he's been through the ringer as much as you could possibly be as a freshman, yet he's taken to the playbook well. And so you see the final results here of up or down.
Okay.
We were pretty even here. We only differed on
two
the first, or the top two there. Passing yards, 215, passing touchdowns. We shall see Saturday.
Give me 220 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. Not significantly over the averages that we presented, but I think that would be a nice start.
And I would love like a 14 of 19 for 200 passing. Like a very efficient yards per attempt, no picks. Yes, it's Portland State. Just run for 300 and get the heck out of there.
Fun to look back and assess and average out all of those numbers from the previous true freshman starts.
Yes, it tells us something.
To give us kind of an expectation, right?
Yes.
There's enough in that category to make a decent number, you know? Some of
Except
those
for rush yards. That stunk.
A few of them are a little weird. The rush yards is weird. Negative 56 from John.
What is that, 5 sacks? Woo! How many times was he sacked?
That was a tough
How deep
game.
Was he getting
it was
in the pocket?
A tough game against Stanford.
Was he Noah Fifita? He was just running backwards? What's going on?
Our question of the day. What are your expectations for Bear Bachmeier in his first start as a true freshman against Portland State? At Tater Coug on X answers,
nice.
225 passing yards, 65% completion, 3 touchdowns, 50 yards on the ground, and another TD. So 4 total TDs responsible.
I think 4 TDs plus is an good expectation given the opponent, even for a true freshman.
I don't think those are outlandish numbers.
No.
Presented by Tater Coug.
No, I just don't want that many passing yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think BYU should run for 300. Tarleton State ran for 301. So shouldn't BYU run for 350? It depends how Portland State defends BYU. If they're allowing stuff over the
top. Take what the defense gives you, Jerem.
Then take it, yeah.
At Sam_Bird on X says, I expect clean, boring play.
Exactly.
Maybe a couple of explosive plays, but I expect Bear to comfortably settle into the role of QB1.
There will be explosive moments. Just because BYU is probably going to run the ball a lot doesn't mean they won't play action into explosive plays down the field. They're just not going to show a ton in the pass game. Not exotic stuff. Some play action passes are not crazy exotic.
I liked what we asked Trevor Maddich on this question, his expectations for Bear Bachmeier, and he said the key for Bear is to do all of the boring things with great regularity. That was the quote.
Yeah, be perfect at simple stuff.
Boring, yeah. Simple things with great regularity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be solid.
Yeah, it's Thursday. So that means we're how many days away?
Countdown to the Viking.
2 days away.
Oh, game day eve tomorrow. Let's go.
2 days.
Feels like it's dragged just a touch. Maybe it's Portland State. Is it Portland State?
That factors into
it. I'm so excited. Just
right. Yeah. That factors into it. And what they did or did not do against Tarleton State also factors into it.
Yeah, if they'd look. No, maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. BYU football projected to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl by 3 notable media outlets. The Athletic saying BYU Duke, USA Today, BYU Georgia Tech, and Sports Illustrated saying BYU North Carolina. Which of these 3 opponents is most appealing?
Come on. The opportunity to face off against a Bill Belichick-coached North Carolina team? Are you kidding me? That would be fascinating. Fantastic, in fact. You face Deion Sanders the year before in the Alamo Bowl, and you follow it up in Orlando at one of the most celebrated non-big-time bowl games in college football with that mascot, and then you throw in the Belichick circus? Sign me up.
Pop-Tarts is interesting, by the way, because last year, pick 4 from the Big 12 went to Pop-Tarts. It went ASU in the playoff. It went BYU Colorado to the Alamo.
Yes.
And then Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts is actually a good bowl game. I know it seems kind of kooky because it's called Pop-Tarts.
It would require BYU probably to be 9-3.
Yes. So Pop-Tarts means you were top 5 in the Big 12, which is what I think is going to happen. My boldest guarantee, I guess, is what I said, is that BYU will be top 5 in the Big 12. That'd be great. Give me UNC. Not a big fan of Duke after the 21 volleyball thing. Give me UNC and Belichick. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Like, the buildup to that game would be amazing.
It'd be awesome.
Yes. I know it's not the playoff, and I know it's not your New Year's Day bowl game, but Alamo Pop-Tarts? Like, if you go to the Pop-Tarts Bowl with a true freshman starting quarterback?
If it was Liberty, it'd be January 2nd.
Yeah, I don't mind that either.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Belichick in Orlando. Let's go.
We're on the BYU.
Week 1 of college football underway tonight.
Yes. And you mean this afternoon? We have a game at 3:30 in the afternoon with Boise State.
Come on.
Not a Big 12 team, but let's
People
go.
Are like, wait, college football started last week. It's week 0.
Now we start.
Now it's week 1.
Everybody's in.
Big 12 has, as Jerem was just alluding to, a few notable non-conference games this weekend.
Go. I love this.
They include Cincinnati and Nebraska in Kansas City tonight at Arrowhead Stadium, Auburn at Baylor on Friday, Georgia Tech at Colorado on Friday, Utah at UCLA, TCU at the aforementioned North Carolina, and Bill Belichick's college football coaching debut game on Monday. Which of those games in the light of national positioning, specifically getting the Big 12 to try and get multiple teams into the playoff, which of those games, or maybe it's just one, is the most important to help the Big 12 have more than one playoff bid?
Auburn-Baylor, because Baylor's a contender in this league. And if you beat Auburn out of the gates, I think that's a nice win. Also, Hugh Freeze not coaching in a hospital bed, so I like Baylor in that one.
Yeah, if you can take down Auburn on your home field and you kind of own the night, it's a Friday night game.
Love it.
A lot of people are going to be watching that game.
TCU UNC is on Monday. I mean, that will have
that's
that
another
kind of
opportunity,
too,
right?
Right. Yep.
Like, what if TCU's incredible? But they're a team that's kind of a sleeper.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
They aren't that far removed from playing the national championship game.
No, but they're very far removed from playing in the national championship game.
We think they have a quarterback that's capable of taking them to six or seven conference wins. Josh Hoover.
Yeah. Okay, game day coverage for BYU football against Portland State coming up Saturday at 6 Eastern. Starts on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game's on ESPN Plus. Post game on BYU TV and BYU Radio right after.
On the way, John Beck shares his impressions of Bear Bachmeyer. He's been working with him for a long time. What would he share with Bear? And what did he share with Bear before his first start? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is QB1. He's done a great job taking care of the football. Throws a really high completion percentage. A lot of explosive plays. Bunch of touchdown passes. Has done a good job leading our team. He's our guy.
The end goal is to win a championship.
Excited to get this season going.
We're live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, as promised, is former BYU quarterback.
Find this guy!
A guy who trains just about every notable quarterback you can think of. At least it feels that way. He is John Beck. John, great to have you back on BYU Sports Nation. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm trying to get the camera. What am I doing wrong with the camera right here?
You're a quarterback, not a cameraman.
Okay, hold on one second. I got to figure this thing out.
You just go in the middle and it'll be fine. Yeah.
Bro, I am trying to go in the middle. Hey, there we go. All right. That's what happens when you're outside on a bench by an equestrian center. This is what happens.
Sometimes you have to change your camera platform, right? It's like a footwork thing with like a quarterback.
Yeah, I guess I was better at playing quarterback than I am handling a camera, an iPhone camera.
Thank goodness, though.
Yeah.
John,
so Bear's our guy.
Yeah,
Bear's our guy.
He's the guy. And you and I spoke on the phone, I want to say in mid-May, late May, about Bear. He was brand new at the time, but just spoke highly of his possibility and his ceiling. We, at the time, weren't sure that he was going to develop into the starter, which he did now. So I guess my question is, why do you think he was able to assume that role from the time you and I were talking back in May to where he is today, a few days away from becoming the first true freshman ever to start game number one of a season for BYU?
Well, it's very impressive to come in when he did and to be able to attack the absorption of the game, of the playbook, and to take it on in a way that allowed him to play at a high level when given an opportunity to compete for the starting job. That is very impressive. Bears played a lot of football, 3-year starter in high school, played at a school where he threw the ball a lot was placed on his shoulders. But a thing that I think also is a big deal for him is his older brother was the starting college quarterback for a lot of years. Like, Hank played for probably 6 seasons. Hank probably started a handful of games his freshman year at Boise. So he's been around college football. He's watched a brother go through it. I know Hank helps him a lot in preparation for his high school seasons, preparation for entering college football as in a competition and potentially being the starter. He leans heavily on Hank. So I think Bear just comes in with a lot of maturity, with a lot of experience, and he's a really smart kid. And so he took to the playbook and he absorbed it really fast. And, you know, it's very, very impressive to see a freshman that shows up to school in May and earns the starting job.
Yeah, it's one thing to learn the playbook. It's another to execute it. Yet you've known this kid for a long time. Sounds like since 7th grade or something. What have you learned about him over the last 5 years?
Yeah, I've known Bear for a really long time, since he was a teenager. Great kid, quiet kid, very humble, hardworking. Family sacrifices a lot for him to be able to put in his time, effort, and energy into training. Just a little short story, like, Bear had to drive easily an hour and a half just to get to the training sessions, and would do that all the time. So you see a kid that is willing to put forth that type of sacrifice, it means a lot to him. And it showed in the way that he trained. He's always very focused when he puts in that training time, right? No time goes wasted. He puts in every minute. And a lot of the times he was asking, Coach, what can I do extra? And I think all of that has gone into what he's become. very successful high school career. And it's just kind of a testament to who he is and the family that he comes from.
John Beck is on BYU Sports Nation. You're a man who understands just how much pressure a true freshman quarterback will feel in start number one. Bears comes against Portland State. Then, interestingly enough, he gets Stanford, who you made your first start against at BYU, against that program.
Justice for John. That's what we want in week two.
I think the program's in a way better place right now than they were when I was when I was rolling out there.
Fair point. What's the most difficult part about making that first start as a true freshman and getting ready to do so?
You know, my situation's probably a bit different just because it'd been so many years since I had started a football game, played in an entire football game. I think for Bear, he knows what it feels like to play four quarters. He knows what it feels like to play against a college defense. He did it when he was preparing to, you know, play at Stanford. I think for him, here's going to be the thing that, you know, he and I actually had an opportunity to talk about, was just, this is going to be his first time at a game in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. You know, so for him to run out there, the first time running out of the tunnel on game day, the first time taking the field in pads on game day, it's going to be his first start. You know, I think it's a great situation that he gets to play against Portland State game one. It's not going to feel like too much. It's not going to feel overwhelming. I think he's going to go out there. He's going to play ball. The defense that he's practiced against every single day should prepare him really well for what it's going to feel like to play against Portland State. And then the same thing, you know, how cool is it that he gets to have his second start against a team that he was just a part of a few months back? I think from a comfort level, those should be comforting things for a young player. Will it still feel big? Probably so. Bigger than what he's used to. You know, Murrieta Valley, the games that they're playing in, does not feel like Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So he'll still have that anticipation, maybe that little, you know, butterflies in his stomach, which is great. You should expect that as an athlete. But I think he's going to handle it well. Bear is a very, like, even keel. I don't think he gets too high, too low at times. So for him, I think it's just going to be about going out and playing his game, and he should do a good job of that.
What do you see in his mechanics that work really well, and what can we expect from him as a passer?
Well, Bear's very consistent. He's put in the work and the effort to be a consistent thrower. As you guys showed that little highlight clip, I heard A-Rod say that he has a high completion percentage. He should. He's a very consistent thrower. The other thing is he's smart and he knows where he wants to go with the football. Accuracy is not just the ability to throw accurately, but it's to get your eyes in the right place because you understand what the defense is doing. You understand your concept and you can work your eyes to the correct starting position and then through the concept progression. Bear's going to do a really good job of that. Again, I don't think Portland State's going to be anything even close to overwhelming. I think he's going to be able to see it clearly. The speed isn't going to be too much, and he's going to have guys around him that are veteran players, so he can trust that. I would expect to see Bear in his first start have a high completion percentage because of the type of thrower that he is and how smart he is as a quarterback.
John, you are a man who can appreciate a nice security blanket as a quarterback. Johnny Harleen was one. Curtis Brown could be dubbed as another. You had great players all around you, especially during your senior season, that you built a nice rapport with. So for Bear, who obviously has not played a game yet at BYU, who do you anticipate will be his security blanket? Or maybe what will be that thing for him?
I mean, I can't help but say Chase just because of the player that he is, what he's been. When he's healthy, he's fantastic. I'm sure they're going to spread the ball all over the place. I did an interview, I think, for like Ben Criddle's show where he was asking me, like, who's a surprising person that may stand out? I think our tight end group, I think, could be a group this year that can really stand out. I know Carson Ryan's done a lot of really good things in practice. I think those two guys can be great security blankets. It's guys like Chase has so much experience and to be able to trust matchups. For a young quarterback, the ability to understand where you have coverage and where you have an advantage in terms of personnel and to trust when a guy is going to win in space versus zone because he's seeing it the same way, and win versus man coverage because you trust him. I think that right there always helps in a quarterback play decisive. The big thing about trust is trust at quarterback allows you to play decisive. Indecisiveness is what hurts you in so many areas. Hurts accuracy, hurts your feet, hurts your timing. But when you can be decisive, now the timing, the footwork, the accuracy, all of that gets to stay at a high level.
There are two really nice things going for Bear right now. One is the schedule kind of ramps up in a nice way. FCS, you got a Stanford program that is still good, but kind of reeling a little bit. ECU, right? And then the Big 12 schedule, you kind of have three games that are manageable and so on and so forth. The other is that BYU is not asking its quarterback to win them every game, chuck it 40 times, throw for 300, 400. A lot of playmakers around him, good defense, great special teams. With that said, John, a true freshman starter needs grace. He needs time to figure things out. What kind of grace should we allow Bear as we watch him develop as a true freshman?
Well, I think fans will understand that. I think the coaches, when they made this decision to name him the starting quarterback, one of the reasons was they knew the schedule in the beginning, just like you said, it kind of starts a little soft and then ramps up. What a great space to allow a young player to play in, because A, there should be success. You want young players, especially at quarterback, to feel success. It doesn't mean that there's still not bumps along the way and growing pains. Those happen. But to be able to go through those while experiencing success and wins, that's a huge thing for a young quarterback's development. So look, what are they going to see? They're going to see at times maybe Bear get through his progression a little quickly, at times maybe a little slow. At times he may take off with his feet in the beginning and try to make some plays when he'll learn he can stay in the pocket, work through his progression, and get to a check down. I, though, think that we're going to see what looks like a very seasoned young player from the beginning, just because of how many games that he has played throughout his career as a high school player, and also getting a chance to compete for the starting job at Stanford. He got a lot of reps in the spring. So, yes, we're going to experience some things. I don't think that the fan base is going to have to say, man, these first few games, we have to give him a lot of grace. When it might be needed a little bit more is when you jump into that Big 12 play against tougher opponents. If those opponents see a young quarterback having success, they're going to have to say, this guy is going to be needed to be treated more like a veteran player. We're going to have to maybe throw things at him. We're going to have to disguise things a little bit more. We're going to have to treat him that way. So you might have to see a little bit more growing pains or things happening a little bit more mid to later in the season as he faces the toughest part of the schedule.
John, let's transition now to the NFL with Zach Wilson, the Miami Dolphins. Well documented how much time you have spent with him and how close you are with him and his development now as a professional quarterback. A different Miami team than you played for when you were in the NFL. So how do you feel like the fit is working out for Zach overall with Daryl Bevel as his quarterback's coach and just the overall scene and setting in Miami?
Well, I think it's a good spot for him. I've watched all of his snaps during the preseason. I think he's in a great place. You know, Mike McDaniel's a really smart head coach. He gets to watch Tua Tagovailoa really play in that offense and execute it at a high level. Tua throws with great anticipation. He's been in that offense for a number of years, so he understands what Mike is trying to get done. So I know Zach has really enjoyed his experience of watching Tua execute that offense, kind of learning new ways in terms of seeing windows, getting the ball out really, really early and on time. And I think if Zach has an opportunity to play this year, again, I think it's just going to be a good situation for him. You know, it's so tough, right? Because Zach got drafted really high because he's a really talented guy. And he goes through all that stuff in New York. And then he gets to go land in Denver and he gets to see some things that really help him. And I've seen some of those things play out and help him in this new opportunity in Miami. And I thought he's done a really good job. Look, there was a few games that his team gave up some sacks, and I would have loved to have seen what some of those drives could have been had there not been some of those sacks. But then I watched Zach show up in some third down, some really critical throws, and just put it right on the mark. And I think as he's continued to grow and develop as a quarterback, it's prepared him for an opportunity like this if he does get a chance to play. And I also get the sense that that's a Miami team that can really rally around him. Zach is well-liked in the locker rooms he's in. He's well-liked in the offensive meeting rooms. I know that because I get feedback from some of the guys that are around him. And if this is an opportunity for him to get a chance to play in some games, I think good things can happen.
Great insight and analysis from John Beck on all accounts, BYU and of Zach Wilson in the NFL. Let's just get vengeance for John.
Justice
with,
for John.
With BYU beating Stanford in game number two.
You know what? It's not just gave that game of my freshman year. I got a shoulder separation my sophomore year, and I had to miss the Stanford game. And so I had to sit on that sideline. But then in the fourth quarter, Gary Crone came to me and was like, John, is there any way that we can get you out there? And I remember telling him, like, Coach, I literally have no clue if this ball is going to come out a spiral. I mean, I can give it a go, but I just don't know. So anyway, those two games have always been in my mind. So yes, it would be great to see a young buck like Bear go out there, get a W against them. And the other, the great thing about that too, is that would probably mean BYU's 2-0. And anytime you get a freshman that can come out the gate and win two games and just start the season 2-0, that's a really big deal.
Huge. Justice, vengeance, all of it for John, I guess, Stanford. Hey, great to talk to you, man. We appreciate the time.
Good to see you, John.
Sounds great. See you guys.
The great John Beck on BYU Sports Nation.
Love John. Great insight. And he's one of the best coaches in America at passing quarterbacks. He teaches them what's up, NFL and college guys, big time. Number 11 women's soccer taking on Auburn coming up Friday night. That's a big one, 9 Eastern time. SEC versus Big 12 at Southfield.
Still on the way, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU offensive lineman Austin Leusa on his experience playing in FCS and what BYU's offensive goals are for game one. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back in Studio B, we are live with BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Thursday headlines.
BYU football is 2 days away from the season opener against Portland State. BYU football announced today, Saturday's game, officially a sellout. I think that's going to happen quite a bit.
Let's go!
For the foreseeable future. Pre-game coverage live on BYU TV and BYU Radio Saturday at 6 Eastern.
Former BYU star and current 49ers All-Pro, All-Pro Fred Warner came in ranked number 16 in the NFL's top 100 player list. This marks his sixth consecutive year making that top 100 ranking and his third straight year in the top 20. The 49ers opened the season against Jerem's Seahawks on September 7th.
I love and hate that that's the season opener. Avery Frischneck named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. Peyton Collins, Big 12 Co-Goalkeeper of the Week. After a 2-2 tie at Cal Poly, 1-0 win against number 4 UCLA. Number 11 BYU now hosts Auburn tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU men's golf ranked number 12 in Golf Week's preseason rankings. BYU finished last season ranked number 19 in the country. They returned seniors Simon Kwan, Tyson Shelley, and Peter Kim, and have added one of the top recruits in the entire country, Gihei Akina.
And Daniel Schneeman was placed on paternity leave this week by the Cleveland Guardians. Best of luck to he and Allie. That's exciting. BYU expects to have a good run game this season, and with left guard Waylon Lapu'ahu out against Portland State, the first man to rotate in is probably Austin Leusa, an interesting guy who has two kids and knows what it's like to play as an FCS team against BYU. I talked to him yesterday.
What we have here is, for the first time in BYU Sports Nation history, two dudes from West Jordan. Two dudes from West Jordan. I went to Copper Hills. You went to West Jordan. Let's talk about the best things about West Jordan. What do you love about West Jordan?
Man, everything about West Jordan. It's a tight-knit city. I think, you know, you get to know everybody in the community. And then the community comes together with everything, with the high school, with, you know, all the community events, the fairs in the summer, everything goes on in the winter. So I think it's just a really tight-knit community.
Go Jaguars, go Grizzlies. We both unite in trying to beat Bingham. That's essentially what we were trying to do, right?
Never did, but we tried.
We tried. Good gosh. Okay, you're one of the guys that has not just kid, but kids. Yeah. Two kids. How do they make you a better football player?
Man, they humble me every single day. There's not a day that goes by that my kids don't, you know, humble me not only as a father, but as a husband, as a football player, you know, because I got to kind of come home and switch my roles. I go from, you know, playing football most of the day to come home to be dad. And so, you know, they make me a better person, and then it ultimately makes me a better football player on the field. So,
where do the O-line skills apply at home?
Man, you know, picking up your kid, you know, holding them, putting them in the bed, you know, maybe doing their hair a little bit. My traps get a little sore, you know, my forearms too. So I think, you know, that helps a lot. But no, just any way possible, they help me a ton.
Talk to us about your journey from West Jordan High School to Southern Utah FCS. We'll talk about that in a second with Portland State. To BYU, you've been here a couple years now.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey, but it's been the right one for us. We definitely took the hard road, and we went through some challenges. I think there was a lot of learning and growing for me, not only as a football player, but as a father, as a husband. And it's been the best journey for us, and I can't say any more about it.
What's it like to have been at an FCS school? You don't know that it's going to work out. You got to work as hard as possible. Now you're in the Big 12 on a top 25 program.
Yeah, I think definitely being at an FCS school at the beginning, it makes you want to work hard. You know, we joke around when I was there about FCS almost being like a JC. Like, it's just dog days. Like, you're just working hard to get noticed. And then hopefully if you take a chance on yourself, someone will pick you up. And that's kind of how things played out.
Tell me about your boy, Carl Safarchuk. He was at SUU. Yeah. You guys played together. Now you're playing here.
We played together for 2 years. That's my boy. You know, I was playing right tackle there. He was my right guard. And so it was just fun to have him here with me and the O-line. And he's just been a tremendous addition to the O-line room.
And he got baptized, I heard.
He did. He did get baptized. It's actually funny because, you know, he was kind of cracking jokes a little bit when he first got to Utah about the church. And I always told him, like, Kyle, you're going to get baptized one of these days. And lo and behold, you know, he comes here and, you know, he figures it out, and he goes swimming a little bit in the church. So
we got him. Let's go. Yeah, we got him. He felt the spirit. That's great. Having played at an FCS school, BYU's playing Portland State this week. What is it like from that end of it to play a team like a BYU and Portland State wants to prove themselves?
Yeah, it's definitely a game where, you know, it is their Super Bowl. You know, it was my Super Bowl when I played BYU in 2023. That eventually got me here. I had a great game. We're definitely not going to overlook them. They're still a football team. They still can do great things. But, you know, we're just going to play our game. That's what Kalani and all of our coaches have preached. We're going to do what we do. And, you know, that's play football and play football at a high level.
So you put good film out there in that game, you're saying? That helped you?
I think so.
What are the goals against Portland State? You're certainly heavily favored, yet you want to be efficient and have a good, clean game.
Yeah, we just want to play clean. We want to do our assignment. We want to do our 111 football and just be on the same page and ultimately just come out with the win.
Austin, we appreciate the time. Best of luck Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Up next, it's time to get to know a little bit more about BYU Women's Volleyball in studio and preview the start of their season with Brielle Kemivore and Alex Bauer. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Volleyball.
Bauer, another chance for the Cougars. Kemivore, yeah. Alex Bauer with the ace. Overpass, just won by Alex Bauer. Real high, just at the net, and Kemivore puts it away.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and the stars of those highlights you just saw are with us in studio as we move over to the Cougar Council Room. Brielle Kemivore and Alex Bauer on BYU Sports Nation.
It's time for volleyball, Spence.
Yes, it is.
It's time for volleyball.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, let's just kind of go inside the mind, because you've done this before. You know what the emotions of a new season are like, but now you've got some veteran leadership inside. So how is this lead up and build up different this year? Question for both of you. We'll start with you, Brielle.
Yeah, I would say that it's a little bit different just because, like you said, we have been placed in a little bit of a different leadership role by being able to have those years of experience under our belt and be able to kind of lead by example and be able to pull the rest of the team with us is super, super cool that we didn't have the other years just because of experience, just because we weren't here for as long, but now we have those years, so.
And how about you, Alex? How's it different?
Totally. I mean, being a freshman last year, feeling all those emotions for the first time, the pressures, just playing in the Smith Fieldhouse for the first time, now we already have already felt that, but just going in with the same mindset of, you know, every game's a new game, and how are you going to handle the pressure? I feel like the pressure will still be there, but we know how to handle that. Just, I think the maturity level has just gone way higher, and we're just so ready for it. We know how it was like last year, and we just want it even better this year.
The pressure's always there at BYU. You guys expect to make the tourney, win games in the tourney, and then, you know, the Big 12 goes, hey, you're the preseason pick to win it. Frankly, I thought Arizona State or Kansas would be the preseason pick. So how are you guys kind of handling the immediate target on your back? Although it's BYU, there's always a target on your back.
Yep. Yeah, we love the target on our back. Honestly, it shows that people believe in us. It shows that people believe in us and that we can go and accomplish really great things. And I think it's super cool that we got to be picked as number one. But now we just get to go and play as a team and be all in for our team and not really focus on what the outside is saying and just ball out on the court. So, yeah.
BYU volleyball stars Brielle Kemivore and Alex Bauer with us on BYU Sports Nation. You open with three matches. You have FDU, Central Michigan, and High Point running through the weekend. So what are you hoping to accomplish in those three matches? Alex, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think just having a mindset of every game is the biggest game you're going to play. And I'm going to treat this game, FDU, Central Michigan, and High Point, like a national championship. And I think we are all just so ready to be on the court together. We're so excited for the new talent we have on this, on our side, and we're just so excited to show everyone what we got.
So excited to not play against each other.
Yeah. Probably, I'm excited not to play against each other.
Hey, if I can play on your side, team up. I want it.
Exactly. Okay, we've had Sule Davis in studio. We've talked to her. She's a fantastic addition. What kind of player is she? What can fans get excited about with her?
She is gritty. She is competitive. And we really, really need that kind of fire on our team. She's a super, super competitive, intense all in person, especially when she's playing off the court. She's like a complete switch. She's super, super mellow and she's super calm.
Reminds me of you guys. Like, yeah. You're very fire on the court, nicest people off.
Yeah, 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 she's super sweet. But yeah, she has the fire in her eyes. Every point, she's playing like it's her last that she's ever gonna play. Like, she is fully given all in, all energy to every single thing that she's doing on the court. And it really, really adds that fire and assertiveness that we need to our team. So she's been a super, super great addition to our team.
We Alex, that coupling with Claire is gonna be fun on the pins.
Oh yeah. I am so excited. And just to second BK, Sule's the type of person that you want her on your side. Like, going down, Sule is going to fight no matter what. And I think that a lot of our teammates have that same quality trait. So
for sure.
Sule just brings it out in us. So we're super grateful to have Sule on our side.
Some more back row attacks will be fun,
oh,
too.
Oh, yes. Those are the best in the Smith Fieldhouse.
The defense doesn't, they're not ready for it. Come on.
So good. Cannot wait for that. We asked you about the team preseason expectation. Mm-hmm. And clearly, you feel like you have to go out and earn it. You're not putting a ton of stock into that. But both of you were tabbed Big 12 on the Big 12 preseason team individually. So how do you handle that type of honor and recognition when it is an individual thing? Alex, how about you?
I just remembering that it's we over me. Any award, any acclamation that I get is because of the team. I can only do so much as my passers and my hitters. They make me look good. BK makes me look way better than I am.
Hey, so. I can't do anything without her, so, honestly.
Yeah, just remembering that. You know, at the end of the day, it is all about the team, and I just want what's best for the team, and that kind of will show kind of reflection on me, but it's all about the team, and yeah.
What's the next step for you as a player? Because last year you became a first-team all-conference player, you led the league in blocks, you were top 15 in the country. What's the next step?
I think the next step is honestly just doing what I do best. Honestly, not super worried about, I like to not really look at the numbers and look at all of that. Like, I couldn't tell you my stats from last year and things like that. I probably knew at one point, but not really look at the numbers and just go out and play and not have the pressure of, oh, I have to beat this record that I did last year, or beat this, because then I'm too in my head, like, oh, it's about the numbers. It's not fun anymore. So just being able to go out and just play confident and not super, super worry about what's next to come. Just be me, and I know I'll be able to accept opportunities that come to me.
I'll watch the numbers, and I watched the numbers three times go 10-plus blocks and 10-plus kills last year, which was incredible.
Thank you.
Three double-doubles with blocks is crazy. Normally, it sticks.
Mm-hmm. You say do what you do best. What is it that you do best? Because there's a lot of goodness there, so what do you feel like you do best?
Blocking.
Let's go.
Blocking, yeah, that's my specialty. I love it. A good stuff for a kill, I choose stuff every time.
Don't add her on social media.
She will block blocked.
You. She will block you.
Blocked.
Alex, you announced on Instagram in early June, that you had heart surgery.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and how you're doing.
Yeah, so back in January was when I started getting sick. And it took a couple months to get diagnosed with SVT. So I've been dealing with SVT for a while, and that's just, I have some heart palpitations and I kind of go in and out of arrhythmia. So it kind of affects my breathing and I get nauseous a lot, I throw up. But in May, I got an ablation done. So it's basically burning that little piece of heart off. And ever since then, I've been pretty good. I've been pretty healthy and I'm just taking it day by day. And some days, you know, you feel sick, but it's just gonna take time to completely heal. It may take a couple years. But as of right now, health-wise, I'm good to go. I'm so ready to start playing. So I was off for a good chunk in the summer, but now I'm totally back to my normal self. So Yeah, which is crazy, man.
That's good news, because that sounds
fantastic news.
Yeah.
We're so glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
And we're super excited to watch both of you play. Three matches. Jerem's ready for all three. He'll be on the call.
I'm ready right now. Let's go.
Locked in.
Boards are done. Let's go.
Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for joining us on the show. Listen, if you don't know how it works by now, you come on the show, you take your game to the next level. Okay?
My only request is win as quickly as possible Saturday, because the football game is 2 hours after the start of it. So if you go four, that's fine.
We got you.
But we like
you.
Wins any way they come. Thanks for coming in. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A sweep would be great. Number 19, women's volleyball, opens the season, as mentioned, tomorrow, 2 Eastern, just an hour after our show. All of this on ESPN+. Tomorrow night against Central Michigan. And then, as mentioned, they will sweep High Point. Saturday, hopefully. High Point's using that as bulletin board material. They didn't say it. I said it. It's what I want.
Take it out on Jerem.
Saturday night.
Up next, it's Jerem's favorite time of the week outside of the actual games. We play Know the Foe.
Yes, I love it.
With the Portland State Vikings. How much do you know about Portland State? You're Portland.
I know Portland.
This is BYUSN.
I know Portland.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to Studio B, 2 days away from a BYU football game against Portland State. You know what time it is. Know the Foe!
First of the year, baby!
Portland State Edition.
Let's go.
Bringing our good friend and producer Colton Potter as the narrator of one of the best segments
on TV
that we do here at BYU TV. Colton, what do you have for us here?
All right, first question, Jerem, this is for you. Portland State, first founded in 1946 and was originally located along the Columbia River in Portland.
Yep.
After the Vanport flood of 1948, what nickname was Portland State given by its students? A, Underwater U, B, the college that wouldn't die, C, the college in the river, or D, the college without a future?
I've never heard of that in my life.
The Vanport
flood.
Let
alone any of these, so okay. This is a straight guess. How about C, the college in the river?
To Spencer.
Cole, I'm going to go with B, the college that wouldn't die.
Oh, nice.
That
nice.
Is correct. I would have also accepted D, which was an alternate nickname, the college without a future.
They're hoping they're not a team without a future.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. All right, question two. Spencer, Nike headquarters located in Beaverton, Oregon, which is right outside of Portland.
Yes.
Which Portland State grad helped play a role in creating Nike? Dan Whedon coined the Just Do It slogan. Jeff Johnson, who is credited with coining the name Nike. Carolyn Davidson, the inventor of the Nike swoosh, or Bill Bowerman, who is co-founder of Nike.
Well, this story goes a little deeper than that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm going to go with C, Carolyn Davidson, who created the swoosh. Yeah!
Wow, look at you. Nice.
Portland State.
Oh, Portland State. Who knew?
Okay.
Yeah, very nice.
You got to win last two to tie.
I've already basically lost, but go
last
ahead.
Last question.
Oh, it's over. It's over.
Jerem, you first. Which of these Simpsons characters is not named after Portland streets? Ed Flanders, A, B, Groundskeeper Willie, C, Mayor Quimby, or D, Sideshow
I know
Show
Portland,
Bob.
But I don't know Portland like this.
Groundskeeper Willie!
I have no idea. I don't know. See? Mayor Quimby?
I hear my declare.
Go ahead, take it, Spence.
I'm going to go with Sideshow Bob, D.
Oh! It is Groundskeeper Willie.
It is Groundskeeper Willie.
Willie, not named after.
Wow.
Streets. Wow.
Know the Foe.
No Powell Street in there, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, I feel foolish.
Portland guy.
Portland, really? Are you sure about that?
Our question of the day, what are your expectations for Barrett Bachmeier in his first start as a true freshman against Portland State? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. From at Royal Coug on X, who says, 80-yard flea flicker bomb to a racing tiger, Bachmeier, for a touchdown on the first play of the game.
That would be fun. That would be fun. Almost like the third down for Tanner Mangum to Mitchell Juergens.
That
on the opening
was
drive.
Awesome.
That was 78
that
yards,
was fantastic.
Maybe?
Yes, like yes. Yeah. A true freshman start, right? From Tanner Mangum. Yep. Good. Today's Rise and Shout-Out to my Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
AJ DeBonsa giving away backpacks in his hometown of Brockton, Massachusetts. My sister actually lived in Brockton a couple years ago. Been there. So great work by AJ. Nice job.
again, we mentioned he's in the news cycle. He's just so busy.
He's doing great work. Charitable, out there among the people. Man of the people.
Great representative of BYU. Our thanks to today's guests, John Beck, Brielle Kemavor, Alex Bauer, and Austin Leusa.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Larry Moore. We'll see you tomorrow on Game Day Eve. Football is back! Go Cougs!
We got games tonight, this afternoon!